Welcome to Podcasts for Young Philosophers and IB Theory of Knowledge Students. This is Doug McManaman coming to you from Southern Ontario, Canada. A good place to begin a conversation on the nature of knowledge is to discuss the following claim. Every opinion is just as valid as any other opinion. Now, at the root of this rather widespread belief is the contention that everything is a matter of opinion after all, and someone would have to be pretty arrogant to hold that one's opinion is more valid than any other. Leaving aside for the moment the question about what validity in this case means in the strict sense, an intelligent person can offer a series of compelling arguments in favor of the above. In fact, I recall having a discussion with a friend of mine in our staff lunchroom about some philosophical question or other, when a supply teacher who was eavesdropping decided to throw in her two cents, and she began to defend the postmodern position that all knowledge is a construct and that whatever is true is only so relative to the larger system that was constructed and of which truth is merely a part. Truth is relative, in other words. The more we tried to qualify her point, though, the better her arguments became. Now, I cannot reproduce them here because I can't recall them in all their detail. They were, however, complex and rather impressive. She had very insightful things to say about the limitations of human knowing, the implications of cultural limitations and the limits of language, the degree to which human beings make wrong inferences every day, the little that we know at any one time. And we agreed with many of her insights. We agreed that she was, for the most part, right. However, she drew a conclusion that we thought undercut everything she argued up to that point. She claimed that we really don't know anything, and that possessing truth is not possible at all, and that we can be certain of nothing. Now, if that is true, then what do we make of her insights into the limitations of human knowing with which we had no issue? Do we take them seriously? Do we dismiss them? In order to begin to resolve this problem, let's consider just what an opinion really is. Now, if you reflect for a moment, you'll notice that we do not regard every conclusion we draw as being a matter of opinion. We do not pretend that the conclusion of a mathematical problem, for example, is an opinion. But is it an opinion if I conclude, after only a few days at the start of a new semester, that one of my students would make a good nurse because she is cheerful and kind? Indeed, it is an opinion. The difference between the conclusion of a mathematical problem worked out without any errors and my judgment that this young lady would make a good nurse is that I cannot be entirely certain about the latter. That is, I might be wrong, especially if my judgment is made solely on the basis of evidence gathered all within a sample space of a few classes. It is true that all good nurses are joyful and kind, but it does not follow that all those who are joyful and kind will turn out to be good nurses. I may discover that the jovial student in front of me lacks the mental capacity to pass even a single required course at the university level. In other words, an opinion may or may not be true. It could be mistaken. All I can say about an opinion of mine is that it is possibly the case that I am right. That, of course, implies that it is possibly the case that I am wrong. I might claim that the desk on which I am writing is about 4 feet wide, but to discover whether or not my opinion is right, I need a standard by which to determine the correctness of my judgment. What is that standard? The answer, of course, is a ruler of some kind, a measuring tape or a yardstick. Now, without a standard, there is no way to measure my judgment. What then is the standard that is the measure of my opinion that this young lady would make a good nurse? The answer is certainly not her plans or goals. Indeed, she might want to be a nurse, but she might also be mistaken about her own abilities. Rather, she is the standard. In other words, it is not true that she will probably make a good nurse or probably not make a good nurse. Rather, she will either make a good nurse or will not make a good nurse. She either has all the qualities and abilities that a person needs to become a good nurse, or she doesn't. Probability is in me, in my conclusion, not in her. I am not certain at this point whether she does or does not possess the required qualities. All I see after a few days is her demeanor. And so it is my judgment that possesses a degree of probability. She, this human being, in her total reality, is the measure of my judgment. If it turns out that she does not have the necessary qualities and abilities that will allow her to successfully complete a nursing program, then my opinion is wrong. In other words, reality or real being is the measure of our opinions. We can look at this from another angle. An opinion is a judgment that may or may not be true. For example, it is possibly the case that my judgment that she will make a good nurse is wrong. Now, we all understand what it means for something to be possibly the case that. It means that it is not necessarily the case that. If something is necessarily the case, we see that it cannot be otherwise. It is not my opinion that 5 times 20 equals 100, for example. I know it does. I see that it cannot be otherwise. In other words, I grasp the necessity of the conclusion. An opinion lacks precisely that condition. If I do not see the necessity of my conclusion, at best, I have a very well-founded opinion that may or may not be true to reality. To hold that absolutely every claim or judgment is a matter of opinion is to hold that there is no existing standard by which to measure the truth of a particular opinion. In other words, we cannot know anything for certain, or what amounts to the same thing, we cannot grasp the relationship of necessity between the conclusion and the premises from which it is drawn. But if we cannot ever apprehend the necessity of a conclusion, because knowledge is impossible, then we have never apprehended the necessity of a conclusion or claim. If we cannot make a square circle because the existence of a square circle is impossible, it follows that we have never seen one. How then did we ever acquire the idea of necessity in the first place? The apprehension of necessity is the condition for the possibility of understanding what it means to lack necessity. That is, what it means for something to be possibly the case. In other words, if everything were a matter of opinion, we wouldn't know it. That is, we wouldn't know what an opinion is. We know, however, that an opinion is a judgment that may or may not be true. We may not know much in this world, but at the very least, we know with certainty that an opinion is necessarily a judgment that is possibly wrong. Moreover, our understanding of reality might very well be almost infinitesimally small, virtually nothing compared to the infinity of all there is left to know. But at least we know that real being is the measure of what we know, which is why we continue to test our opinions, to measure them against the yardstick of reality. In other words, we attempt to verify them, confirm them, or if you are a good and honest scientist, to falsify them. If it were not so, that is, if real being were not the measure of our opinions, then knowledge and opinion would be conflated. Thus, whatever I think is true would in the end be true because I think it. And if we really believed that, we wouldn't dare to argue with anyone or demand that a hypothesis be tested, because deep down we would believe that whatever anyone thinks is true is in fact true. We would not regard anyone's judgments or claims as opinion, but as knowledge. And even if someone were to disagree with everything I've said this far, that disagreement would nevertheless imply that my opponent in debate grasps necessity, for what he asserts essentially is that what I've argued is not necessarily true.